Next News 97.1 FM.
This is Countdown 2024.
Here are Charles Feldman and Margaret Carrero.
25 days to go until the polls open across America, and we all get to decide on the 47th president of the United States. Thank you for counting down along with us, along with Mike Simpson, who's filling in for Charles Feldman. I'm Margaret Carrero. On today's Countdown 2024, Congresswoman Katie Porter. Is she really ready to ride off into the political retirement or sunset after losing in the Senate primary and giving up her Orange County House seat? Or are there bigger things on the horizon in her future? We will put that question to her in just a moment. And the Trump campaign's national spokesperson joins us to preview a big rally tomorrow. Now, our quick spin around the political world.
Yeah, a little more on that rally, Coachella Valley tomorrow. Trump here in the Golden State, everybody gearing up. Could be 100 degrees out there right in the desert, but protesters say they're going to be there too. Question is, why is he here in a state where he's not competitive? Again, his team with us later on in the show.
An often angry Barack Obama teed off on Donald Trump at a rally in Pittsburgh last night, the first of several events the former president is holding in battleground states for Kamala Harris. Obama did not hold back his disdain for Trump.
The idea of intentionally trying to deceive people in their most desperate and vulnerable moments. And my question is, when did that become okay? I'm not looking for applause right now.
Obama comes to the Southwest next week with rallies scheduled for Arizona and Nevada.
And Trump's campaign requesting unprecedented amounts of security and protection in these final weeks. Campaigns asking for the former president to be flown around the country on military aircraft. They want expanded flight restrictions anywhere he's scheduled to be. And they want armored military vehicles as transport on the ground. Washington Post reporting Trump's senior staffers have expressed a lack of confidence in the Secret Service.
Katie Porter has long been considered a rising star in the Democratic Party, building her reputation as one of the toughest questioners in Congress during hearings. Remember the whiteboard? She took a shot at California's open U.S. Senate seat, but came up short to Adam Schiff. The question is, what is next? Orange County Democratic Congresswoman Katie Porter joining us now on Countdown 2024 to let us know. So what is in the future for you?
Well, between now and election day, I am out working, making sure that we're going to elect Kamala Harris, and working really hard, particularly in these swing seats here in Orange County and nearby. So I'm going out on the road for to Palm Springs County and Riverside County for Will Rawlins, helping Josh Harder, who's running in the Central Valley, Derek Tran here in Orange County, Dave Min. The path to the House of Representatives runs right through California, and we're not getting a lot of attention from our Democratic presidential candidates. Because they're working on swing seats, Pennsylvania and Wisconsin and those places. But there's a lot of work to be done here in California. So from now till November 5th, that's what I'm doing.
Okay, so November 6th, what happens? What job do you want next? Senator sounded great, but I mean, governor doesn't have a bad ring to it, does it?
Well, I think our next governor needs to be laser focused on solving California's biggest challenges around cost of living, and that is housing. We need to build more housing, period, more workforce and middle class housing, so that our kids can afford to live here, so that businesses can afford to expand and create new jobs here in California. And of course, we need more transitional housing to get folks off the street and to keep them off the street. When we bring down the cost of housing, we prevent homelessness. So I would say, I think as I think about what we need to be tackling, whether it's in Washington or here in California, I think there's no issue more important for our governor in housing. And, you know, I got my start in public service with housing, working for our then attorney general, now our vice president, and hopefully soon president, Kamala Harris.
It really sounds like a speech a gubernatorial candidate would make.
I was going to say, you are contemplating it, aren't you?
I'm definitely thinking about how to make a difference. And, you know, I'm going back to teaching at UC Irvine in the spring in January. So I've been working on my syllabi and my course descriptions and trying to figure out if I want to give a multiple choice exam. So, and all at the same time, I've been really excited.
The answer
excited.
Is C, the most common one. Yeah, that's always all when in doubt.
Circle it.
Exactly. And I passed two bills, one in the House and one of my bills passed in the Senate the week before Congress adjourned in September. So I'm definitely kind of have a lot of things going on and a lot of things I'm working on. But, I am a Californian and I'm raising my three children here and I hear from them. They're 12 and 16 and 18 now. They were much younger 8 years ago when I launched my very first campaign. And they're worried about whether they're going to be able to afford to live in California. So one way or the other, that's a question I'm going to have to be thinking about a lot.
So whether you opt to run for governor or perhaps some other office, what lessons did you learn from the unsuccessful Senate campaign that you might apply to another run for office?
Yeah, great question. I mean, I think, one, Adam Schiff is a terrific candidate. He's going to be a terrific senator. It was a hard-fought race, and I grew from that race. I learned from that race, and I met a lot of people across the state. So I think one of the real opportunities for me was to get into parts and pockets of California that are really different than Orange County, that have different economies, that have different challenges, and whether that's the Central Valley or the Bay Area, I think I met a lot of people. I think I picked up a lot of insights into what unites us as Californians. I think housing was one of those things. Cost of living, I mentioned jobs, being able to get into our UC system for our students and Cal State system, keeping those costs down. So I think for me overall, it's always hard to lose. It's easier to lose to someone who's a strong candidate like Adam and who will do a good job. But I think I came out of it really heartened about Californians and about what they need and want in their politics. And I think, you know, we've had 8 terms of a great governor, or just, I mean, 8 years. We will have had 8 years of a great governor in Governor Newsom.
It's been 8 terms?
Maybe at the end of the day. Someday. See, you might feel like that some days. I think, you know, it's been a tough moment to be in politics. And I think we see that in this House, in this presidential race, but we also see it when I knock doors. People are tired of being worried about their future and about whether they can count on politicians to take care of them. And I think that's something that we're seeing as a big contrast, not only in the presidential race, but I think we're seeing it in these, you know, with looking at what's happening with FEMA funding. Are we going to have someone who's going to address the cost of homeowners insurance here in California, right? And wildfire insurance. And so I think we need leaders who know firsthand what it's like to raise a family in California and try to make ends meet, have kids in public schools, all of those things, and can really think about how do we deliver those solutions.
We're talking with OC Congresswoman Katie Porter. Let's go bigger and get into the presidential race, because we've talked about it a couple of times, you know, off and on here through the course of the last few minutes. So same thing I'm probably going to ask the Trump spokeswoman in just a few minutes here. If Donald Trump, is as bad as Kamala Harris and the Democrats say, if he's a danger to the Republic, like, why is this race so close?
Well, look, I think we're dealing with a very polarized political environment. And I think that is itself really damaging to our democracy, ultimately. And I hope we can get past that. I think President Biden had high hopes that we would be past that at this point when he ran. But I think we still find ourselves there. Look, information is getting harder. It's harder to know where to trust and where to rely on. And people are getting more and more misinformation. I think the press has done a lot of fact checking in this race, of both candidates. And I think that's been incredibly helpful. But I think that, you know, there are legitimate fears and concerns about America's future. And I think that Kamala Harris is doing a terrific job tackling those head on, whether it's immigration, whether it's her ability to lead on the world stage, whether it's the ability to continue to have opportunities for small businesses and entrepreneurship. I think she's an abortion, the ability to keep the right to make your own decision about your body. And she's talking about those issues in a way that invites people to really come back to core American values, freedom, patriotism, taking care of each other. And I think Donald Trump is seeking to divide us. But that kind of division, that kind of hatred, it always spurs a certain amount of energy, sadly. And I think we see that around the world, not just here in America.
You know, when you look at the polls, right, there was a asking the question on Newsweek today about, is Kamala Harris crumbling in the polls? I mean, some recent polls really showing the gap between her and Trump narrowing. She was up a little bit more, certainly after she took the Democratic ticket and after the convention. But it's been a really rough run going up and down, up and down. I mean, what's going on?
I mean, polls are noisy. I think that's just a reality we all need to understand. On top of sort of the margin of error, which is, you know, 3 or 4%, we have the fact that, you know, the interest in voting. So polls are always asking, how are you planning to vote? How certain are you you're going to vote? That moves up and down as elections go forward. I don't see anything but momentum on the side of Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. I think he's been a terrific add to the ticket. And I think you're seeing them out in places like Arizona, in places like Pennsylvania, where they need to be. And I think it's a big contrast to, you know, former President Trump, who, as you mentioned, is coming to California this weekend. I'm going to stay on the show listening so I can hear what exactly they think they're doing.
What do you make of the continued idea that people say about Kamala Harris? I don't know her. I still don't know her. Despite, you know, the interview blitz this week, I don't really know what she stands for.
Well, I think that it's very helpful to tell people what she stands for. And so I think that a lot of her, people knocking doors, people making phone calls. And I always encourage people to talk about what she stands for to them from a personal experience. So, you know, when I talk about what matters to me, I say, look, I have seen her go toe to toe with the biggest banks in the country and stop Californians from getting cheated. I have seen her in a situation where there was an easy path and to just go along to get along. And she was willing to stand up and fight for ordinary Californians who were losing their home, who were being foreclosed on, who had been cheated by predatory lenders. And that's the kind of leadership I want. I want that leadership when she's dealing with negotiations with our adversaries. I want that kind of leadership when she's trying to get stuff through what I think may be a divided Congress. And so I think people should talk about why they're voting for Kamala Harris from their own personal perspective. But look, a lot of this, I don't know her. If that's the best thing the Trump campaign can come up with, I think she's going to win on Election Day.
Orange County Democratic Congresswoman Katie Porter, thank you so much for your time here on Countdown 2024.
And you heard her say, I'm going to stick around and see what Trump's doing here. I want to hear about it. That's what we're talking about, Trump in California. Next.
This is Countdown 2024
on KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Welcome back. It's Friday on Countdown 2024, along with Margaret Carrero and Mike Simpson, sitting in for day for Charles Feldman. Donald Trump in California, his views on our state, not exactly unknown.
Very simple message for the American people. We cannot allow Comrade Kamala Harris and the communist left to do to America what they did to California. The state of California is a mess. But what they've done, Gavin Newsom and Kamala, I'd almost say Kamala more so, she destroyed San Francisco and she destroyed the state.
And yet Trump will be in the Coachella Valley tomorrow afternoon for a campaign rally in a state that he says is a mess and one in which he has almost no chance of winning. So the question is why. Carolyn Levitt's here to answer that question, we think. She's the Trump campaign's national spokesperson. Ah, Carolyn, thank you for joining us.
She made it to the Zoom room, yeah.
I know, we were like anxiously waiting to make sure you made it to the Zoom room. How are you today?
Hey, you guys, I'm well. How are you? Thanks so much for having me.
You got some feedback going on over there.
Yes, how's that? Is that better?
Much better, much better. So, quick question for you, because, I mean, California hasn't voted for a Republican since 1988 for president. Mm-hmm. And in such a close race across the country that we have going on here, why is the former president rallying here?
Well, President Trump, first of all, cares about all Americans. Doesn't matter if you're in a super blue state, unfortunately, like California, or if you're in a real red state like Alabama or Kentucky. He cares about the American people equally, and he understands that particularly in Democrat-run states like California, people are hurting, and he has a real desire to meet people where they are, to travel the country, and to talk about the issues that are ravaging California's communities, like the increased crime epidemic you're seeing, or the border crisis that you're facing on the front lines, or the cost of living and energy in your state. And so he's going to California to talk about all of that and to also highlight Kamala Harris's failures. Look, she's a liberal from California. She hails from San Francisco. She was attorney general of your state, and she's responsible for many of the terrible policies that have been implemented in California. She served and represented California in the Senate and voted for some of the most disastrous piece of legislation this country has ever seen. So President Trump is going to go and talk to Californians who are so desperate for new leadership. And he's going to expose Kamala Harris for her very lengthy liberal record dating back to her time as a district attorney from San Francisco, California.
Would he be not better served doing that in a swing state, though, and then people here could still watch him? I mean, if they don't like Kamala Harris already, they don't like her. Is this a down ballot thing? Is this an effort to boost Latino vote? Or is this just like part of the tour for the fans?
Well, I would say that going to California, swing state voters can hear from him just as much, right? We live in a nationalized media landscape where, you know, everywhere the president goes, it's covered wall to wall by the mainstream national media. So people in Michigan can watch him, you know, speaking in California about the issues that have plagued California. It's really about the message and bringing it to every corner of the country. And he's able to do that no matter what state he's in. For instance, you know, he was in Aurora, Colorado today talking about the impact that the border crisis has had on that community. You know, that was taken by national cable outlets. It was picked up by the media. And, you know, folks all across the country are seeing what he said and did in Colorado today.
You know, much has been said about President Joe Biden's age. Trump isn't all that far behind in age. Why should Americans reelect another old guy to run the country?
Well, it's not so much about age as it is about competence. And President Trump clearly has the competence that Joe Biden, unfortunately, does not. I think that was proven to the entire country and world on the debate stage with CNN between the two of them. Even though the White House repeatedly lied and said Joe Biden was mentally acute, well, clearly he was not. Everyone witnessed that firsthand in that debate. And that's why he's no longer the Democrat nominee for president. And it got handed on a golden platter to Kamala Harris. It's not about age. It's just about competence. And I will tell you, personally, working for President Trump, I am a third of his age. I'm in my late 20s. It is difficult for me to keep up with him. He is a machine. He has so much energy. It's truly impressive. And he held twice as many campaign events in the month of September than Kamala Harris. And she's younger than him. So
we've heard the machine thing before. There is the new Bob Woodward book, though, that's making a splash. There is the big piece in the New York Times the other day about questions about his mental acuity. Some of the same questions people were asking about Joe Biden. Why don't we have more clear medical records when he is an older man? Don't we deserve that kind of stuff?
People see from President Trump every single day. He's the most transparent president or former president and candidate in history. He is literally giving speeches every single day, which is something that Joe Biden proved incapable of doing. He doesn't need a teleprompter. He doesn't need a script. He takes questions from the press almost every single day. He sits down for hours-long podcast interviews with sometimes hostile hosts who ask him an array of questions on literally every topic under the sun. I mean, he did a live stream on X with Elon Musk, and they talked about topics that Kamala Harris nor Joe Biden would not know how to discuss without having pre-approved talking points in front of them. So I think President Trump proves his mental competence and his energy every single day when he's out there on the campaign trail talking about the issues that matter to voters.
Hold that thought. Trump campaign national spokesperson Carolyn Leavitt remaining with us to close out today's Countdown 2024 next.
This is Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
Welcome back to Countdown 2024. Along with Margaret Carrero, I'm Mike Simpson, and for Charles Feldman, Trump campaign national spokesperson Carolyn Leavitt staying with us to finish off the show.
So it was just a couple of months ago, Carolyn, when former President Trump said, I think we need to have three debates, meaning with Kamala Harris. We only got one of them, and he's refused to do a second one. Why?
Well, first of all, our campaign agreed to three debates with Kamala Harris. We agreed to one on Fox News, which she declined. We agreed to another on NBC and Telemundo, which she declined. And then, of course, we agreed to the ABC debate, which she chose to participate in. So we did agree to three. Kamala Harris only agreed to one of those three. And then at this point, now she's been maybe toying with the idea of wanting to do another one. Early voting has already started.
I don't know if she's been toying. She's actually said, I will definitely do it. So why won't your guy?
Well, I was just about to answer your question if you'd let me finish my response. And what I was going to say is that his reason is because early voting is already underway. There are thousands of people who are casting their ballots, especially in the battleground states. And he's traversing this country focused on, you know, meeting voters directly where they are. And that's exactly what he's doing over the next 4 weeks of this election.
Isn't a debate a good way to break through for those final people, you know, the three or four undecideds that are still out there? Because there's not that many, right? And if this is a turnout election, because it is going to be so close and both sides agree on that, don't you worry about some people who are just going to skip that top of the ticket and go, you know what, I don't know enough about her, maybe. I know him and I don't like him, so I'll just vote down ballot. You need everybody you can get.
No, I think the American people know Kamala Harris very well. She's been our vice president for the past 4 years. She's wholly responsible for all the problems the American people are facing in their lives, the economic and inflation crisis, which is the worst in a generation. She cast the tie-breaking vote in the Senate for two massive pieces of legislation that created that. The American people know it. The American people know Joe Biden tapped her as the border czar, and they know that we have faced an unprecedented illegal immigration crisis in this country. And Kamala Harris has been ramping up her own interviews on the campaign trail. Finally, it took her a few months to finally sit down for one, but she's doing more. And we applaud that and we welcome it because her interviews are a train wreck every single time. And every time she sits down for one, the American people get to see her. I mean, even on The View, the very liberal hosts of The View were appalled by her answer when she was asked to separate herself from Joe Biden. She couldn't name one thing that she would have done differently over the past 4 years. So the American people have the answers they need about Kamala Harris. If they elect her, they're going to get more of the same over the past 4 years. Inflation, a border crisis, war in the Middle East, war in Ukraine, and more increased crime in our communities.
Trump campaign national spokesperson Carolyn Leavitt, thank you so much. On Monday's Countdown 2024, after questions about his age and declining abilities eventually chased Joe Biden out of the presidential campaign, we will have to ask, is Donald Trump too old to be running for president? We will get into that very sticky subject on Monday. Remember, we are here every afternoon at 2:30 through Election Day. And if you miss a show, you can catch up at 8 o'clock with a replay or on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts. Just search Countdown 2024 and follow the show.